pause recording button.
Hi everyone, it's Jo, and this is just a quick boo in response to Kerry. Her boo name is, if I'm pronouncing this right, if I'm not, apologies Kerry, Nayu Chan. And she did an introduction, so welcome to the channel, Kerry. And also welcome along to anybody else. We've had a few new followers over the past few days, so thanks for joining us, and hope you'll enjoy it and hope you'll all contribute at some point. No pressure. but pass the word on as well if you can. Kerry was asking a question about our stories of visual impairment, really, what our stories are. So I thought I'd just come along and give a brief kind of potted history of mine, really. I suppose in a way I'm quite unusual in that I don't have a diagnosis of my eye condition. I was born with a sight problem but was partially sighted at first, and at 6 months old my mum and dad realised that I wasn't responding as they would have expected. They were told at a very young age that I would eventually lose all my sight, but they were never given a diagnosis as to what the original problem was. So when I was about 6 or 7 years old, I guess, I got what could only be described as a sort of blood blister on the front of my right eye. So I was whipped into hospital and they cut a keyhole in the pupil of my right eye, which enabled them to save the eye but not save any sight. So I've been blind in my right eye since very young, really. The sight in my left eye gradually deteriorated. I've had various operations over the years, cataracts, detached retinas. I have silicone oil in the back of my left eye, which holds the retina in place, and I also have silicone bands around the eye, which are supposed to repair tears and things like that. Of no use now, though, because I had a detached, well, I lost, gradually lost a lot of my sight, and at the age of 12, we were told that I would have to go to a school that cater for blind children. At first, I was at a school for partially sighted children, but they couldn't teach me Braille and they couldn't do the long cane training, so I was given a choice of three schools over here in England. I picked the one that was closest to home, which was St Vincent's up in Liverpool, hence the reason why I am now on the committee for SVOPA, which is St Vincent's All Pupils Association. So at the age of 12 I went there. I learnt Braille thanks to a lovely nun called Sister Frances, who I will be eternally grateful to for various things. She was a fabulous teacher. I learnt to use a long cane, thanks to some good mobility teachers up there in St Vincent's. I then gradually lost my sight. At the age of 14, I had a detached retina in my left eye. That was when the silicone oil came into play. I got a little bit of sight back, down in Moorfields in London, and then about less, trying to think now, probably about a year or so later, maybe a year and a half, I got a cataract on my left eye, which was removed successfully, and I again got a little bit of sight back. But then, unfortunately, the pressure went up in the back of my, in my left eye, and I was on huge amounts of Diamox and various eye drops. For anyone who doesn't know, Diamox gives you incredibly bad pins and needles. I have had pins and needles in places you wouldn't imagine, but we won't go there. So anyway, as the pressure was got under control, it was recognised that basically the sight had gone, because the pressure caused damage to the optic nerve. So that was that, really. I lost the last little bit, colours light and dark, and things like shadows in my late teens. I then went on to train with my first guide dog at the age of 19, and I now have my second guide dog has now retired, and I am on the list for a third one, and which answers Kerry's second question, really. Do I prefer using a long cane or a guide dog? For me, it's a guide dog. I feel so much more confident with a guide dog. I choose not to use a long cane, really. If it can possibly be avoided, then I don't. I'm not very good at it. I don't feel confident at all when I use it. So for me, it's a guide dog. I don't know what it's like in other countries, but In I know that over here we have the pet passport scheme, so that if you want to take your guide dog into Europe, you can. I wouldn't necessarily choose to do that, particularly if it was a warmer climate, because I think, you know, if you've got to do it for work, then fair enough. But I wouldn't take my guide dog just on a holiday, really. I'd leave the dog here with somebody that I trusted. So yeah, but I much prefer to be with a guide dog, but it is very much personal preference, and I would never criticise anybody for preferring a long cane. We all have our reasons for our choices, and that's fair enough. But yeah, so I have no residual vision. I'm one of those people who can, I will be happy to say, I will admit that I am glad that I've had sight, because I have memory of things. So if someone's describing something, I know what it looked like. Now, I know that's a controversial subject and that other people feel differently, and that also is fine. So I don't want to create a debate, it's just my opinion. Hence the reason that I'm not putting this boo under the heading of VI Talk Podcast. It's going to go under my name. So I hope that answers your question, Kerry, and it was a good one to raise. And again, welcome to the channel, and hope you enjoy it, and I shall speak to you all again soon. Take care, and thanks for listening.